sitting while serving time. Open Door Books, also known as Books to Prisoners, is one of several groups in North America who are trying to improve the situation. We respond to requests from people incarcerated all over the continent, sending them books, pamphlets, magazines, and prison resource sheets. Our most requested materials include African American history, philosophy, politics, popular fiction, and dictionaries and thesauruses. Books can be powerful, therapeutic, mind-opening, and consciousness-raising tools, and the community activists of Books to Prisoners believe that everyone has the right to read. We're always looking for people to help out, whether you can come to our meeting space and package books, contribute money or fundraise so we can build up our library, or donate your well-preserved, up-to-date books so that more inmates can have their requests filled and their spirits fulfilled. Call 848-7585 for more information on how you can help Books to Prisoners, or visit our space at Concordia QPIRG, located downtown at 2130 Mackay. To request books, you can reach us at that same address, Open Door Books, 2130 Mackay, Montreal, Quebec, H3G2J1. And again, our phone number is 848-7585.
There is this thing. Do you realize
consciousness is affected.
There is this thing on. There is this thing going on. Do you realize
our consciousness is affected?
There is this thing going on.
What is called
the news brought to you live.
Hi, welcome to Prison Radio. It's just shortly after 5, and you're listening to CKUT, Montreal's community radio station. And today we're going to have a lovely show full of lots of stuff. We're going to start with a panel discussion from Montreal Southwest Community Ministry. We're going to speak with Mike Curtis, Peter Hewish, and Mary Beemans. We're also going to have a poem being read, and we're going to finish off with an interview with Peter Collins, who is serving a life sentence, and he's involved with lots of arts projects and stuff like that. So we're looking forward to all of this stuff. And so I guess I'll begin by welcoming our guests into the studio. So welcome, and thank you for being here.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
And I was just wondering, because Restorative Justice Week is coming up on November 12th to the 19th, and I was wondering if you could tell our listeners a little bit about what your involvement in the community is, and also what your involvement is and what kind of stuff you've been involved with in terms of prison issues and things.
Well, we're here. We're with Montreal Southwest Community Ministries, a big long name, which does a lot of things. We visit guys inside, we give them support inside, and so that we can get to know them, and when they come out, we're there to help them when they come out. Mm-hmm. We look for volunteers desperately to go inside. We also have volunteers that do circles of support for somebody who comes out end of mandate, who's done all his time and has no support from correctional service. And so he does need, it's like a buffer, circles of support and accountability is to help them ease into the community and also provide a buffer between the population, and these were high-profile cases. Then that was going so well that we, across Canada, they started the circles of reintegration, which takes the same a group of people that meet regularly with a prisoner and help him. They're there to help him as he comes out. Mm-hmm. And then every Tuesday, we have Open Door at the Y. And if somebody would like to be a volunteer, actually it's not on the Y. We're at the Anglican Diocese this for a couple of weeks because they're doing renovation in our rooms at the Y. Mm-hmm. But every Tuesday night, we have we get together. We have guys that are about to finish their end of the sentence, long-term offenders and short-term offenders from the pens. And a penitentiary, by the way, is for people who are doing more than 2 years. And when we talk about prisons, it's people that's provincial, and that's doing less than 2 years. But so we have guys coming from the pens with escorts. And so it gives them a chance to make friends outside of the criminogenic community, the volunteers. And then we have ex-prisoners who come also to the group. Some have been out for many years, and they're just lonely. You know, you don't have that much in common. And it's like a support group. And we have different themes, and we have once a year, we have a picnic, we have a Christmas party. And we're generally there for the guys when they come out.
Oh, that's great. And Peter, can you tell me a little bit about what you've been involved with?
Well, I've been with Montreal Southwest Community Ministries from the beginning. And in fact, Montreal Southwest became a reality because of what I recognized working inside as a chaplain at that time, just one institution. Now I work in several institutions. And it became obvious to me very quickly, working inside as a chaplain, that the real issues were those that came up when someone left the prison and tried to find their place back in the community again. And that was really... that was the seed for Montreal Southwest Community Ministries. I spent some time doing some explorations in the community, as well as talking to a lot of inmates, but explorations in the community, asking community groups, congregations, people that I knew in the community, especially that part of Montreal where there seemed to be a higher proportion of vulnerable people and people affected by the issues of crime and its repercussions. And after some months of that research, it was really quite remarkable how much identification of the problems there was in the community on the part of community groups and other concerned people, families and so on, who'd been affected by having either been victims of crime or having their family life disrupted by the processes of the judicial system and the criminal justice system. And so there was quite an amazing coming together of people from many, many areas in the southwest part of Montreal to start Montreal Southwest Community Ministries. And the volunteers, in the particular volunteers, have been in flux over the last 7 or 8 years that we've been working, but we still and continue, hopefully, as Marie has just suggested, continue to be on the lookout for new volunteers at all times. And much that we do is due to the presence of the volunteers, the concerned, caring people in our project.
Oh, that's great. And Mike, I hear that you're involved with the Restorative Justice Week as well, and I'd just be interested in knowing the stuff that you've been doing.
Okay, well, Restorative Justice Week this year starts on the 12th of November, which is a Sunday, runs all the way through to the Friday. On the Sunday, there will be recognition of that week in St. Joseph's Oratory and also in St. Patrick's Basilica. And after that, there will be a series of events organized during the week for the Anglophone population particularly. We ourselves at Open Door, our weekly meeting, will be doing a program based on restorative justice and how it works, how it can be beneficial to the whole community. And also on the Friday of that week, there will be a meeting which encompasses both the French-speaking groups and the English-speaking groups to be held at the Dominicans' property on Coast and Catherine Road. It's a full evening starting at 5 o'clock, probably going on to 10. There's a community supper. There will be a general meeting between the two language groups. And then specific programs for both groups but separately before we get together to just close them. But it is to promote restorative justice, which is the type of justice that heals the community, tries to heal both the victim and the offender, and is not confrontational as our normal justice system is at the moment.
Could you tell us a little bit about the, or could one of you tell us a little bit about the origins of restorative justice?
Well, restorative justice, the word sort of was coined in the late 70s by somebody who wrote a book called Changing Lenses about a new paradigm. People had been saying there was, with the rise of the social sciences that got involved with the prisons, because prisons, as we know, have been around only for 200 years. Before that, it was holding people until they were either put to death or lynched or whatever. And now, and also in the Middle Ages, there was a form of restorative justice which was trying to look at solutions. And in different countries, like in Africa, there was, if somebody stole somebody's cow, well, he and his family were judged by the people in the community, and they had to replace the cow. If you killed somebody's, the father of a family, you had to support the victim and his family, or the accused and his family had to support that man's family without the privileges. And so it was, you would heal the community and try to repair the harm done. And what we were seeing is that our prison system, which was started by the Quakers, the one as we know in Philadelphia 208 years ago, the whole idea was to be very short, to give people time to repent, to do penance. And what they found is that it was getting worse and worse, and people were doing more and more time. So in the 70s, there was new blood that came into Ottawa too, that sort of looked at this idea coming from the Mennonites and from the Quakers, who were peace activists and so had done, been involved in prisons and done time because of their stance. They looked at this vision of a new paradigm, which was drawing on past experiences like in Africa and saying, how can we solve the problem and prevent things happening? Instead of having an adversarial system, let's look at problem solving, at healing, a healing process. Just like we restore broken furniture, well, let us restore broken lives. Mm-hmm. So that was, we had Prisoners Justice Week, and there were different prisoners' rights groups. People got involved. And in 83, there was a conference in Toronto which said, let's look at an alternative to the to a penal approach, a punitive mm-hmm. approach. They expected 50 people, and it was organized by Quakers, and they expected 50 people, and they offered, so they offered to put them all up, and they had 500. They had, it was fantastic. You had everybody from justices, people from the Law Reform Commission, jurists from five continents that came. Mm-hmm. You had prisoners' rights people. You had chaplains. You had Native people, Black people, all of them were coming together saying the system doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And now there is a vision. We were considered crazy in those days when we talked about abolishing the punitive model. And now the government is sort of looking at it, say, up until this government, they were looking at how could we incorporate it. So our Prisoners Week, which had existed in Montreal with prisoners' rights and different community groups for over 30 years, when these groups sort of started falling apart, lack of funds and whatever, mm-hmm. The government, the chaplaincy in Ottawa said, let's sponsor a Restorative Justice Week and look, instead of just the prisoners, at the whole larger picture mm-hmm. of what are we doing for the victims. We do nothing for victims when we put somebody inside. Mm-hmm. We do nothing, really. You warehouse somebody, but you don't learn to live in a free society behind bars. Mm-hmm. And we're not doing anything in prevention. So it's looking, there's conferences, there's talks. How can we, there's still people, in spite of the change in the Solicitor General, There's still people in the community and in the chaplaincy and some and criminologists that are saying we have to look for a different way of solving the problem.
And what are some of the strategies, say if somebody commits a crime and does something against somebody else, and what are some of the strategies that using a restorative justice that would take place to sort of deal with that? And also, how does restorative justice sort of look at the larger social context, the social inequalities that exist in our society? I mean, we see the racism in Canada or the social, economic inequality, all these kinds of things. And, in light of all of this, the big picture, and how does it come down in individual cases to dealing, it's a lot to bite off to, sort of deal with that big picture of things?
Restorative justice isn't a formula. It isn't a method that you go and get a book, and you say this step, that step, that step. It's a vision. Mm-hmm. It's a vision of looking at solutions. So restorative justice, there are different programs which have existed for some years in Canada, of victim offenders meeting in the pen. In Quebec, there is a program where there are victims, but not the victims of these prisoners, that come together and they meet with a facilitator, and they express their pain. So the victims can express their pain, and the prisoner himself realizes the harm and also the side effects, also how people can be hurt in the community. There have been a couple cases in Quebec of the individual victim and the prisoner coming together. So the mother can express her pain, mm-hmm. and they can go through a healing process, because as long as you've got feelings, you're absorbed by feelings of vengeance and hate, mm-hmm. your whole family's being destroyed. Mm-hmm. You can't move on. We've got to go through closure. We can't restore. We can't have some crimes that the person that commits the crime commits suicide after. You'll have two or three in a family, or like we've seen recently, at Dawson. Mm-hmm. How can we heal? Just looking at expressing the pain, the community reaching out to people, mm-hmm. so that they don't feel guilty. Mm-hmm. That's restorative justice. You mm-hmm. cannot undo harm done. Mm-hmm. But what we can try to do is help to move on. As far as the social issues, the causes of crime, I'd say that at the moment, politically, there's a lot of talk, but politically, the government seem to be backing out. But there is also a problem, is that we've taken to leave a lot of our solutions. People say, well, let the government handle it. Let the government do it. Mm-hmm. And I think as individuals in the community, we're not doing enough education. Mm-hmm. Is that individuals have got to open their doors, and we've got to have an inclusive society, mm-hmm. instead of an exclusive society. And if I just look, while I was waiting to come on the show, I was reading an itinerary about the meeting where people at City Hall said, we don't want the itinerants sleeping outside. Get rid of them. Arrest them. Mm-hmm. That isn't the solution. What we've got to do is look at it. And people have got to say, yes, we are. I am my brother's keeper. Mm-hmm. We are responsible for the society. There will always be people that will have mental health problems, that have had screwed up childhoods, that have a hard time adjusting. We've got people, a lot of the guys we see in the pen I have guys that come mm-hmm. to my house for dinner with mm-hmm. an escort because they have no place to go. And before they can get parole, they have to have a couple passes. So they come with a guard and they spend the day. And you know what I realize is many of these guys have never had a family meal in their life. Mm-hmm. And so these are things, if you keep excluding people in our society, then you're keeping them in a criminogenic environment. Mm-hmm. You're putting them away. You don't give them a chance to learn, to mm-hmm. have friends. And this is why volunteers are so important, mm-hmm. because this isn't cost efficient. You don't put a job, you can't put a job description. When somebody comes out, he's lost. Mm-hmm. Especially when he comes out after 20, 30 years. He's like a Martian that arrives, and some of them look like Martians.
And so how is this work? Because it sounds like you guys have done
a respond to individual needs.
Work to sort of involve people, to help people get back into the communities and things. And how has that gone on for you guys?
Well,
most of our people are identified by the prison chaplains themselves. Mm-hmm. And they will present cases to us, and we receive cases, because we are an English organization, we receive them not only from the Quebec pens, but also from some across the country, people who want to come to Quebec. So they are identified. If they are in Quebec and are close to Montreal, they often come to our open door meetings. Mm-hmm. We try to visit them in prison, form some form of relationship, a form of trust, because they have to trust us. They very often have not had anybody they can trust in their lives before, so this is something new. And we have to know how they react and learn how to trust them. So this is how our connections are made. They will then make their own requests. We would like a circle of support and accountability. We would like to have a circle of reintegration. We recognize that we can't do this alone when we come out, mm-hmm. but we really want to. But if we're on our own, we're going to go back to our own ways. Mm-hmm. And they make the request, and as I say, friendships are formed. Mm-hmm. It's not necessary to say that these are going to be friendships which last for the rest of their life, but they're going to last for a few months or a year or something until the person has got himself back onto his feet, his own apartment, his job. And he's functioning in society, doing things he's never done before, getting his own, finding a job, getting his own place, buying furniture, getting a health card, whatever. Mm-hmm. Things that they've never done before, they don't know how to do it. Mm-hmm. So, but they feel strengthened by the fact that people are around them mm-hmm. and are there to answer their questions and perhaps to mentor them, to say, are you doing the right thing?
Mm-hmm. And it's sort of a time of learning and having new experiences and all these kinds of things.
And relearning, too, in terms of social skills. Mm-hmm. I mean, guys who spend a long time in prisons, I mean, we hear the word institutionalization bandied around, and it doesn't seem to convey a lot in itself. But we see a lot the effects of time spent mm-hmm. in prison on guys, and one of the serious issues is the loss of social skills, the loss of ability, Mike used the word trust, to be in a trusting and open relationship with other people.
Well, some of them never had social skills.
Exactly.
They grew up in institutions like many of the guys we see.
Yeah.
And so just being open, being straightforward, being available, simply accompanying people, walking with them in the needs that some of the needs that Mike mentioned and others as well. I don't know, going bowling, going to a movie, going for coffee, these kinds of very, very ordinary things that bit by bit give people the experience of learning what it is to be in relationship in a normal way, because the relationships they've experienced in prison are, generally speaking, fairly distorted. Mm-hmm. They're not normal.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of concerns and watches for personal safety and security and confidentiality that just dominate how they relate to other people mm-hmm. inside. So.
Well, that's interesting. We're going to wrap this up now. I'm sorry. I wish we had more time, but maybe in the future. And so just to let everybody, just remind everybody again, so Restorative Justice Week is coming up November 12th.
Just a second. Mm-hmm, the events that Mike mm-hmm. was talking about, they're all free.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. They're all free, except that we're having a benefit concert
before. Yeah, I was going to say, if you don't mind, I'd like to plug a concert.
Please do.
We need funding. We do get a certain amount of funding. It's not enough. So on Saturday, the 11th of November, we are having a benefit concert. The chorale is Coro Mondo. This is a female choir from North Hatley who do a lot of concerts. They're very good. It will be held in the parish hall of St. James the Apostle, which is at the corner of Bishop and St. Catherine in Montreal, very close to Guy Concordia Metro. The doors will open at 7:30. The show will start at 8 o'clock. We'd love to see a lot of people there. We are suggesting a free will donation of $15, and we guarantee they're going to have a very good evening.
Nice.
Okay.
Well, thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great. You're listening to Immortal Technique, and this is Revolutionary Volume 2, bringing you the truth in the form of hip-hop. From Death Row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
Yeah, it's that real this time around. Immortal Technique, Revolutionary Volume 2. It's on now, motherfucker. Lock and load. This is the point of no return. I can never go back. Life without parole, upstate, shackled and trapped. Living in the hole, looking at the world through a crack. But fuck that, I'd rather shoot it out and get clapped. I've gone too far, there ain't no coming back for me. Auschwitz gas chamber full of Zyklon B. Just like the Spanish exterminating Tainos, raping the black and Indian women, creating Latinos. Motherfuckers made me out of self-righteous hatred, and now you got yourself a virus, stuck in the matrix, a suicide bomber, strapped and ready to blow. Lethal injection, strapped down, ready to go. Don't you understand, they'll never let me live out in peace. Concrete jungle, guerrilla war out in the streets. Nat Turner with the sickle, pitchfork and machete. The end of the world, motherfucker, you not ready. This is the point of no return and nobody can stop it. Malcolm Little when he knelt before Elijah Muhammad. The comet that killed the dinosaurs, changing the earth. They love to criticize, they always say I change for the worse. Like prescription pills when you misusing them, nigga. The Templar Knights when they took Jerusalem, nigga, and figured out what was buried under Solomon's temple. Al-Aqsa, the name is not coincidental. I know too much, the government is trying to murder me. No coming back, like cutting your wrists open vertically. How could the serpent be purposely put in charge of the country? Genetic engineered sickness spread amongst me. My people are so hungry that they attack without reason, like a fucking dog ripping off the hand that feeds him. Immortal Technique is treason to the Patriot Act. So come and get me, motherfucker, cause I'm not coming back. This is the point from which I can never return, and if I back down now, then forever I burn. This is the point from which I can never retreat, cause if I turn back now, there can never be peace. This is the point from which I will die, succeed, live in the struggle. I know I'm alive when I bleed. From now on, it can never be the same as before, cause the place that I'm from doesn't exist anymore. This is the point of no return, nigga, you better believe this. Mary Magdalene giving birth to the children of Jesus, the evolution of the world, bloody and dramatic, human beings killing monkeys to conquer the planet, the kingdoms of Africa and Mesopotamia, machine gunning your body with depleted uranium. This is the age of microchips and titanium, the dark side of the moon and contact with aliens. I started out like Australians, criminal minded, broke into hell, tore it down and built a city behind it. Southpaw, murderous methodology, nigga. Remember that I'm just a man, don't follow me, nigga. Cause once you pass the point, you can never go home. You gotta face the possibility of dying alone. So tell me, motherfucker, how could you die for the throne when you don't even got the fucking heart to die for your own? It rains acid, one day the earth will cry from a stone, and you'll be looking at the world living inside of a dome. Computerized humanity living inside of a clone. This is the place where the unknown is living and real. Wormwood, the planet X and the seventh seal. Universal truth is not measured in mass appeal. This is the last time that I kneel and pray to the sky, cause almost everything that I was ever told was a lie. This is the point from which I can never return, and if I back down now, then forever I burn. This is the point from which I can never retreat, cause if I turn back now, there can never be peace. This is the point from which I will die, succeed, live in the struggle. I know I'm alive when I bleed. From now on, it can never be the same as before, cause the place that I'm from doesn't exist anymore.
Attention all listeners, CKUT has a new phone number. To reach the CKUT offices, 514-448-4041. To reach the on-air line, 514-448-4013.
Join Block the Empire for an anti-imperialist demonstration as part of a worldwide day of action against the occupation of Afghanistan.
L'Afghanistan, l'Irak, Haïti, la Colombie, le Liban, la Palestine, Gané-Satagué, l'île de la Tortue et partout. Soutenons la résistance et soyons solidaires chez nous.
Saturday, October 28th, 12 o'clock sharp, corner of Guy and de Maisonneuve, Metro Guy Concordia.
Amenez vos bannières, vos esprits et vos enfants. Pour information, contactez le 514-848-7583.
This is a CKUT co-demonstration.
Yay!
Prism, Democracy, Leisure. An exhibition by Afshin Mitlabi presented at the May Montréal Art Interculturel from September 7th to October 28th. For more information on special events surrounding this exhibition, contact 514-982-3386 or go to www.m-a-i.qc.ca. Terrorism, Democracy, Leisure. At the May, 3680 Jeanne Mance between Prince Arthur and Pine, Tuesdays to Saturdays, 12 to 6 p.m., free admission. A CKUT co-presentation.
Hi, and welcome back to CKUT. You're listening to Prison Radio. It's just maybe 5:31 right now. And just a few little announcements to make. So I'm happy to announce the release of Certain Days, the 2007 Freedom for Political Prisoners calendar. You can find them online at www.certaindays.org. It's jam-packed with information. It's beautiful and colorful, and it also goes to support our social justice movements. This year it will support the New York State Task Force on Political Prisoners, No One's Illegal Kingston, and Adil Amir. It's a political, it's a Palestinian political prisoner solidarity group, and the theme this year is immigration. And like I said, it's beautiful and lovely and jam-packed full of great good stuff. And also, I just wanted to let you all know that sadly, this morning around 5 o'clock in Leuven in Belgium, Villa Squatus Day was evicted. It was a squat that was occupied. It was on paper, it belongs to Opus Dei, which is a right-wing religious sect which has some shady links to fascism and all kinds of horrible things like this. So it's been occupied for around, the building was occupied for around 5 years, and they evicted it at 5 a.m. this morning with by riot police. It was completely unexpected, and there's more than 15 police vans there, riot vans, two water cannons. People were asleep in the building along with their pets, their animal companions. There were cranes brought in to remove artwork in the garden and around the building itself. And so there are already some solidarity actions that have taken place. The windows of the governing political parties were smashed, and there's graffiti in different places around the city. But the squatters say they're committed to continue their struggle, and that squatting will go on in Leuven and around the world as well. And so now we're going to head into a poem about some prison issues as well. So I'll let you all listen to that. Thank you.
Well, they're building a gallows outside my cell, and I've got 25 minutes to go. And
he is a boy who sings, who trills, warbles, and chants. He is a boy who sings like a bird. He is a boy who sings of days drowned under earth, of nights rendered into dawn. A boy who sings of the broken tomb of his father, who sings of his father, who sings of the raging grief of his mother, who sings of his mother. He is a boy who sings. He is a boy who sings into pale faces that burn with the pride of their stiff, naked lips. He sings of a room, a table, a bowl, a chair. The bowl resting upon the chair, his body resting upon the table, his head resting, resting in the bowl, his lungs bursting as his face rests in the bowl of water. He sings of his tongue split and splintered to its dark red root. He sings. He sings of the soles of his feet. He sings of the soles of his feet that must not fall. He sings of the soles of his feet that fall and the sparks that lift them again. He is a boy. He is a boy who caws, who squeals, who brays, who sings his song, who sings his song while hanging, who sings his song while hanging from a hook. He is a boy that sings while hanging from his wrists, hanging from a hook, hooded and bound, 21 days, 16 hours a day. He hangs and he sings like a bird. He is a boy who sings a song, who sings into a hole in the earth where he has been chained, chained for 30 days, for 100 days, for 200 days, for 300 days. He sings the cold muzzle slipped between young lips, teeth, and tongue. He sings of the shock, the shocks, and the urine and shock that flow after each shock, each new shock to his anus. He sings when the coals of Winston's and Camel's and Marlboro's burn small circular wounds along his arms. He sings shackled and draped, naked upon a table, as a boy from Georgia or Tennessee whispers, whispers. He sings of his fear, the fear of his young caught, caught in the blades, the sharp blades of his jailer's scissors. He sings of the blood of a young woman spread upon his chest as she whispers, whispers desecration into the warmth of his ear. He sings of his interrogators, the interrogators whose sons and grandsons will come to beat him in their turn. He sings the song of a slow turning wheel, turning without him. As he crawls to his cot in a cage 6 feet by 12, open to the rain, open to the wind, open to the night, open to the screech of the gulls that wheel above that do not know and do not care, he sings. 400 days, 500 days, 600 days. He sings of Canada. Oh, Canada, the maple leaves and the dark eyes of his sister. He sings of a merciful and a vengeful God. He sings of a martyr's victory. He sings like a bird in a butcher's fist. He sings as the butcher's red fists beat his song into the sand. He sings of the implacable sand and of the red specked breath that flies from countless round pink holes into eternity, eternity that holds his song in the teeth of its metal flames. 800 days, 900 days, 1,000 days, 1,200 days. He is now 17 years old. He too fears the fire. He too fears the end, and that there will be no end. He sings of his cup, his blanket, his holy book, a song of three emaciated comforts. In a cage, a boy sings his song, a song without end, without voice, a song stiff in silence. He sings, but we do not hear. He sings, but we cannot hear. In our silence, we cannot hear. Yet he sings. Yet he still sings. This boy who sings alone.
Peter Collins has been in the Bath prison for 23 years. I recorded this conversation with him on the 24th of September, 2006.
Could you introduce yourself and describe your surroundings?
Sure. Hi, my name's Peter Collins. I'm serving a life sentence at the prison in southern Ontario. I'm 44 or 45, something like that. I've been inside for 23 years, and I guess I'm involved in art and political efforts to change the way we respond to problems in society.
What does life 25 mean?
Well, in Canada, what it means is you're sentenced to life, so your natural life, and the 25 means that you're not eligible to apply for parole for, you know, a quarter of a century. So after a quarter of a century goes by, then you can go before a panel of three parole board members and basically try to appeal to them to, you know, give you some relief from endless prison.
Have you been before a parole committee lately?
Yeah, I've been before the parole board this summer. I went before them, and they thought I could use some more prison.
Could you describe the healthcare facilities at the Bath Institute?
When, you know, the word they use institution, so you're doing a prison radio show, right? And
yep.
You should try, in my opinion, not to use their language, and their language is institution, you know, it's because these aren't institutions and penitentiaries, because these are, like, that's when they were talking about having, we would come to these places and we would pray to the Bible and do our penitence, right? So what I've tried to do is steer away from using their dishonest language, like as if we're, you know, in an institute or a correctional institute or a penitentiary, because that's just a lie, you know, that they perpetrate their bullshit with. So I think prison is a more, it's a more honest word, you know, and they don't like it when you use it.
Could you describe the healthcare facilities at the Bath prison?
Well, it's a trailer, one of those trailers that, so the architectural face of it is that it's a trailer. It's one of those stationary trailers. They bring it in wheels and, you know, take the wheels away and it stays there. It looks like a, well, you know what a trailer looks like, one of those sort of construction trailers. So that's what it looks like on the outside, and on the inside it's a hallway with I think six different rooms, and there's nurses on staff 5 days a week for about 6 hours a day, and I think it's probably a difficult job, but it's, you know, for them to do, but it's certainly, I don't think they do justice to their profession in general in prison. I think there's a corrosive element in the prison system. Just naturally, when you're caging people, I think you have to disregard them as actual human beings to allow yourself to live with some of the things that you do or don't do for or what you do to people. So when you work in these places, I think that happens. When you live in these places, I think that happens.
Who do you spend time talking with, and what do you talk about?
Well, I'm the peer counselor here, so I do harm reduction counseling, if that's what you mean. So for people who have found themselves just recently diagnosed with one or more of the different diseases that flourish in these places, I'm, you know, there to talk to them and, you know, and help them if I can, I don't really do much socializing in prison. I have friends outside of prison who I talk a lot with and write to and talk on the phone with and work on projects with. I find, I think that's about the best I can do on that question.
Speaking of interacting with the outside, could you talk about buriedaliveillustrations.com?
Okay, that's a site that my brother set up. I don't know where he got the idea, but he got the idea and then started putting up some of the stuff that I write and talk about and some of my artwork. So it's a really interesting. I've never seen it, so it's hard for me to talk about it. All I know is that whatever political cartoons I'm doing or paintings I'm doing or writing about something that I think might be wrong or could be fixed or whatever, he puts it up there for me, and so apparently some people look at it. Apparently the American Army is the biggest visitor, biggest single visitor, or the American government. Because I guess I've criticized George Bush. So you know, the fucking freaks that they are, they think they have to keep an eye on the website just in case any more cartoons come out and threaten the overthrow of the world or whatever the fuck they think they're, looking for.
And I understand that people viewing the website can get in touch with your brother and he will relay messages to you?
Yep, that's true.
Can you describe you were speaking of your cartoons and paintings. Are art materials easy to come by?
No, they're really, it's really difficult because like the American government, the Canadian government feels very threatened by satire or criticism. And it would seem that that's a lot of what I do. Is criticize some of the decisions and policies that they promote, or what they're doing in the world. So I get a lot of resistance now from the people who work in prison. They try to, sometimes it takes me years to get an order of art supplies.
You're listening to a conversation with Peter Collins, which was recorded on the 24th of September, 2006. For more information about his art, about his sentence, you can visit buriedaliveillustrations.com, 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 buriedaliveillustrations.com.
Well, I spent last night born to fail. Nobody come, born to call my bail. Sun, don't you rise no more. Shot one man on the county line, took his time and I blew his mind, and I'm just sitting here doing time, so don't you rise no more. Well, a restless wind is whistling through my window, through my head, through all the strikes that I've survived. And in my hour of darkness, I keep counsel with the dead, just enough to remind me I'm for to hear my plea, but he don't even answer me. Judge said he's gonna set my spirit free, so don't you rise no more. Gavel fell, he chose the day, gallows high, 13th of May, but I don't plan to go that way, so don't you rise no more. Good night, my and no.
What kind of access do you have to reading materials?
Well, we have a library here, and it has one shelf of books. But we have a part-time librarian who they pay, I don't know how much, but, you know, probably about, I don't know how much, but probably too much to look after a shelf of books. Like, I shouldn't say a shelf because that's misleading. It's like one of those, it's a column of books. So there's books on both sides, and it's, I believe it's like two lengths of the same kind you'd see in a university library or a public library.
Maybe a couple hundred books?
No, there's probably more than that. You know, if you're not a very avid reader, there's plenty of books. And I guess if you're not staying here long, there's plenty.
Any favorites recently?
Well, I mostly read... I'm just going over the Arbor report again on the P4W thing. I don't know if you remember that when, I guess, the CSC had sent in an all-male riot squad into the prison for women and were waking women up and cutting their clothes off while they filmed it, and that tape ended up in the public view, and then there was a big inquiry by Louise Arbour. Do you remember that?
This is news to me. Also, the CFC, what's that?
Okay, CFC is the Canadian Correctional Services, or Correctional Services Canada, yeah, that's it. Correctional Services Canada is the name for their federal prison system.
And the riot squad moved in when and where?
Well, it's quite a while ago now, but I'm just, you're asking what I was reading. Mm-hmm. And I'm just reading that because what I'm doing is trying to look for all the recommendations that have been made, like by the McGuigan Commission, or you know, any of the commissions that have looked into the prison systems. I'm just looking for all the recommendations they've made. I want to make a compilation of them and get a book together showing how all of these recommendations have been ignored over the last, 20, 30 years. So not really reading any novels, if that's what you mean.
Just curious. You were speaking of your criticisms or satirical comments about Canadian-American governments. What are your most recent criticisms?
Oh, well, just I guess now that we've got these conservatives in power, and they're so welded to the idea of prison being the best response that they're coming up with ways of making, sentences longer, making, and Canada already has some of the longest prison sentences in the world. So, you know, that we've got now these sort of right-wing fanatics in there who have this idea that more prison is better. And, you know, there's no empirical evidence that shows that, prison works at all. You know, so what they're currently trying to do is to, get the three strikes rule in, where, someone who's screwed up three times is now in prison forever. And that's been bankrupting states in the USA, that whole idea that you can, just keep putting people in prison for longer and longer and longer, and it's just a ridiculous response. I don't think that you could come up with a less effective and less intelligent, more expensive method of dealing with social problems than prison. So the conservatives are providing a lot of room for criticism on that. Basically because they're not capable of looking at things, with a Spanish.
If there are street youth listening that are perhaps involved in or considering a life of crime, what would you say to them?
Well, I think that one of my biggest regrets is that when I was stuck out on the street and I didn't really have any direction, I knew that I didn't like the way society was going. And I knew that I was, you know, being reviled by the mainstream, you know, in my day-to-day life. I knew that I wasn't part of that. And what I wish I had have done was found a constructive place to put my energy, you know, so that I didn't end up throwing my whole life away, and someone else's as well, and, you know, ruining my family's life and all that stuff. You know, that you've got to try and take care of yourself, so try to find something that you can do that you like, that you're passionate about, you know, and then don't let them hold you back from pursuing it. So whether it's I don't know, art or music, or, you know, taking care of animals, or I don't know, any of the things that you could, you know, be doing or think that you might like, or if you want to work against racism, or, you know, work in healthcare, or any kind of helping other kids or whatever, you know, you have to try to find people who are, you know, positive in their thinking and their direction, and try and link up with them and work together, you know, because the system is not going to help you.
Ed, is there anything that you would like to add?
Yeah, really smart stuff about whatever it was that I missed. Damn, you're joking. yeah, I don't know.
You have just been listening to a conversation recorded with Peter Collins on the 24th of September 2006. Peter Collins is still imprisoned at the Bath Prison, and for more information about his case, please visit buriedaliveillustrations.com.
There is this thing going on.
What is called?
The news brought to you live.
So this is the end of Prison Radio here at CKUT for this month. So just the poem that we heard was called He Sings by Fortner, Anderson, and Tapehead. And so we had some interviews and things. So please try and make it out to all the events and check out the Certain Days calendar as well. And so thank you to everybody, and I hope you all have a great evening. It's a few minutes to six right now. Thank you. Bye.
Do you realize
what is?
There is this thing. Do you realize
consciousness is affected?
There is this thing on. There is this thing going on. Do you realize
our consciousness is affected?
There is this thing going on.
What is called
the news brought to you live.